I had a chance to talk to President-elect Trump last night to congratulate him on winning the election, and I had a chance to invite him to come to the White House to talk about making sure that there is a successful transition between our presidencies. Now, it is no secret that the president-elect and I have some pretty significant differences. But remember, 8 years ago, President Bush and I had some pretty significant differences. And one thing you realize quickly in this job is that the presidency and the vice presidency is bigger than any of us. So we are now all rooting for his success.
To all the little girls who are watching this, never doubt that you are valuable and powerful and deserving of every chance and opportunity in the world to pursue and achieve your own dreams.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Opening Bell. Welcome to another edition. It is Thursday, and it is November 10th, 2016. Thanks for joining us. Another business day as we head toward the Friday that we're all waiting for. It's been a long and busy week. Doesn't it seem that way to you? But we're almost there. And let's begin first at the WGN Market Desk this morning, where we find Asian shares rallying. The Market Desk, sponsored by Associated Bank, extending a surprising global recovery as Donald Trump's conciliatory acceptance speech comments helped rattle world markets initially, but they rebounded. Asia took the lead from Wall Street yesterday, where stocks initially finished wavered before finishing higher yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrials up almost 250 points. That's a percent higher. The Dow Jones Industrial near a record high close. In Asian trading today, South Korea advanced about 2%. Hong Kong advanced about 2% as well. The Shanghai Composite also advanced about 1.5%. Benchmarks in India, Taiwan, Singapore, and the Philippines also advanced. Some big news today happening in the world of social media. Twitter's chief operating officer is leaving the company. The latest profile, high-profile departure from the troubled communications service, San Francisco-based Twitter, said Wednesday that Adam Bain is stepping down and will be replaced by chief financial officer Anthony Noto. It says it will now look for a new CFO. This comes at a bad time for Twitter. You know, it's been under a lot of pressure lately to make money and to improve its stock price. That hasn't happened recently. And this is just the latest setback for them. Twitter has also put Vine up for sale after initially saying it was going to close that out. Well, we're going to talk more today about what's happening with the new administration. President-elect Donald Trump initially caused a lot of turmoil on the markets after the election, but yesterday seemed to be a positive day in the end, and today seems to be doing well as well. Global markets have advanced. Our thought leader today from Associated Bank is Doug Myers, and he's one of the vice presidents of Associated Bank. Doug, first, thanks for being with us on The Opening Bell today. First question, I guess, are you jittery? What's your reaction to the election of Donald Trump?
Well, I think my reaction is like everybody's, complete surprise and shock a little bit. But I think it was a little discerning that the markets were taking a tumble as we started to see the results unfold. I think when he came out and spoke, that it seemed to calm the markets a little bit when he said we're going to be nice and we're going to be fair and we're going to play nice in the sandbox with all the world leaders. And I think that kind of calmed everybody's fears a little bit. But, you know, one of the things we talk about in meeting with our clients and when we talk about financial planning, it's more, you know, build a strategy and build a model and don't react to dips and rises in the market, because that's going to happen all the time. And I think we've seen over time that, you know, blips do occur. But if you just stay the course and maybe be a little more calm about it and stick to your strategy, I think you can sleep at night and avoid the crises, so to speak.
I like that you're being kind of calm about this. Others are not. A lot of money managers are telling people to be very worried. Is this a blip, or is this, you think, a crisis or a major event?
I think it's a very minor blip when you look at the markets. I mean, if you look at the economy we have, if you look at the strength of the the United States economy and the world economy, for that matter. It's doing well. It's strong. You know, we're looking at probably some rising interest rates in the near future, and I think all that is evidence of a strong economy. And I think in investing, you've got to realize that. You've got to be balanced and diversified and do all the things that the experts tell you. But I think at the end of the day, stocks have continued to rise. And I think that's what all investing is all about in the long term.
And it's interesting, too, watching some of the exit polls, looking at some of the exit polls and results. Voters seem to think differently about the economy. Almost 2 out of 3 said that the economy was in bad shape. And that's why they voted for Trump, because they thought he could handle it better than Clinton. Why is there that disconnect?
That's a really good point, Steve. And I think the disconnect is that the rising waters have left some people behind. And I think if you look at the demographics that we're now looking at after the fact, that a lot of the more blue-collar workers, I think, have been left behind. And I think the anger and the need for change has never been stronger in the results that we saw last night.
There, at least initially, it looks like some of the losses, especially in the world markets, seem to be worse than the Brexit, right after Brexit. That has been brought up a few times since Trump was elected. Brexit, this is our Brexit. Is that a fair comparison?
I think it's very fair. And I said, even when I was watching TV last night, I think this is Brexit times 100. Mm. And I think, you know, the world is jittery. I think the world will absorb the news and get used to the fact that this is going to happen. And that tends to calm markets. And I think we'll see some turmoil in the world markets for the next couple of weeks. But I think, you know, as I said, overall, I think long term, they do calm down and people get, you know, they go to their jobs every day and they realize that their lives aren't that different.
Doug, stick with us here. Doug Meyer, our thought leader from Associated Bank today in our morning conversation about the aftermath of the election, what it might mean for you and wealth management. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures are pointing up 143 points. The S&P and NASDAQ futures higher as well. Gold is trading higher, silver too. Oil is trading a little bit lower this morning.
ABC News, Wall Street Now. After steep losses in after-hours trading on election night, stocks jumped yesterday, the Dow rising 257 points to close 46 away from a record high. The S&P 500, which had hit a trading halt designed to limit losses, eventually finished the day up 23 points. The NASDAQ gained 57. Roughly 2 million workers in 4 states will see their income rise. Voters in Arizona, Colorado, Maine, and Washington state approved increases to their state's hourly pay rate to at least $12 an hour by the year 2020. Twitter's chief operating officer is leaving the company, the latest high-profile departure from the troubled social network. Twitter has simply failed to keep pace with Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. It's cutting 9% of its workforce. And early holiday sales predictions may have to be reconsidered as retailers wait to see the effect that Donald Trump's victory will have on consumer confidence. Last month, the National Retail Federation predicted a 3.5% rise in retail sales this holiday. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to our program. It's 520 this morning. In our thought leader discussion today, Doug Myers of Associated Bank, we've been talking about the impact of Donald Trump's election, especially on your portfolio, on wealth management. And Doug, before the break, we were talking about some of the initial reactions to this. But what about all the people that you know, Donald Trump, I guess, won with? And those are the people who say they've been left behind, that they don't have enough wealth to even think about investing. How do we deal with those people and how do we move forward with that?
That's a great question. I mean, you can certainly implement policies to put people back to work. You can, you know, what's been happening in the economy for the past, I guess, gosh, now 8 years is, you know, throwing liquidity into the market. And, you know, that can short term rise the level of water for everybody. But you can't do that, you know, on a consistent basis forever. And I think the Fed has kept interest rates artificially low now for, what, 8-10 years. And I think at some point we might see a rate increase by the Fed. Now, this isn't the president doing this. This is the independent Fed. But I think we're going to see an interest rate rise possibly in December. We've already seen one this year. We've all been a little surprised that we haven't seen more interest rate rises or increases in the past couple of years. It's been very flat. And the Fed and certainly the presidential policies can do things to certainly stimulate the economy. And one of those things is to raise interest rates by the Fed.
We're seeing some indication that may not happen in December. Would that be a mistake for the Fed not to make that decision in December?
You know, this changes everything. Yeah. I think if you look at the CPI, if you look at the factory orders, which is very important to the Fed making these decisions, I think all those trends were very positive. You know, there's going to be turmoil in the markets, obviously, in the next couple weeks as a result of the election. I think we anticipate maybe a 20 basis point, 25 basis point increase in December. You know, I see no reason why that couldn't stay in place. That's pure speculation on our parts. We're surprised we haven't seen more interest rate increases in the past couple years. As I said, we've only had one this year. If it doesn't happen this December, I think it could very easily happen in the spring of 2017. And I think we are anticipating maybe a couple interest rate rises next year.
As Donald Trump becomes the 45th president of the United States, this country has seen its share of crises, and at least in the modern economy, has been the markets have been very resilient. With 9/11, other things have happened. You seem hopeful. That's
a great comparison and great example, Steve, of a crisis. And we all thought the world was ending at 9/11. The markets were took a catastrophic tumble. But look today versus back then, what was that, 2001? That's 15 years ago. And we're way above where we were 15 years ago. So that was, one of the blips I talked about. And it didn't seem like a blip at the time. But 15 years later, it was a blip. And if you stay the course and stick with a strategy and you're well diversified and you're in different sectors and you have a game plan and a strategy, and that's what financial planning is all about, you're going to ride the blips.
And the financial management part of this, too, the other optimistic thing is that there are buying opportunities when stuff like this happens.
Absolutely. And, if you have liquidity and you've got some monies in cash, it is a buying opportunity. And, I'll take one example. Healthcare has been battered this year. Healthcare stocks have just been battered because of the rising cost and the shift in healthcare. That's been a big unknown. Well, all of a sudden you have an election and they talk about healthcare reform, and maybe he's going to undo some of the things of the Healthcare Reform Act. And all of a sudden now healthcare stocks might become back in favor. So, you never know what sector is going to come back. So if you're well diversified and have a basket of stocks in each sector, some are going to rise, some are going to fall, but you're hedging your bets, so to speak.
Is that the key to positive, to good wealth management, is to have all of those different baskets available to you?
I think so. I mean, there's several aspects of an adequate or a good comprehensive financial plan. One is anticipating future capital expenditures, anticipating cash flow, especially when you're looking to retire. Your income's going to go away. It's going to be replaced by hopefully interest and income off investments, possibly Social Security, different investments and cash flow coming in. You have insurance, family needs, you have healthcare needs. You have to take into account the rate of inflation to live on if you have a different source of income. And so all these things go into an adequate financial plan. And when we sit down with clients and initiate a financial planning discussion, you really have to look at all these pieces to say, look, you do have to look at, you've got kids in college, you've got kids coming up into college, you have to anticipate those needs. Maybe you want to help your kids buy a house. Maybe you're looking at buying a vacation home. Maybe you're looking at selling your house and downsizing. Maybe you're looking at doing a lot of shifting around of assets. So you really have to have a discussion with someone and sit down and plan for these things. And that's what an adequate financial plan will do.
What are the biggest mistakes that people make, that financial planners make, the biggest obstacles to a successful plan?
That is a great question. And I think it's not anticipating your goals correctly. You know, goals change. So one of the things you have to do is sit down and every year review it. You know, maybe your vacation home plans will change. Maybe your kids want to go to graduate school, maybe medical school, for example. That's a huge capital expense. Maybe your health changes and your health care coverage needs to change with that. So, you know, maybe you're not rebalancing your account, for example. Every year we like to sit down and say, okay, we had this percent of allocation in stocks versus bonds. As you get older, you know, you might want to shift more to bonds, less to stocks. And so you want to have a very active management role in the financial plan has to be a very flexible document, so to speak. And you know, as you change and get older, you know, your needs are going to change.
Your role, too, is to sort of be the person that worries for us so that we don't have to keep looking at this, right?
Well, we'd like to think that. Yeah.
Because that's another mistake that we see in this is that you check this stuff too often and worry about it and dawdle on it and it becomes a problem.
Well, that's correct. And we want you to sleep at night. And if you have a plan in place, once again, the blips and the crises and the changes in the world will not affect you as much if you stay the course and you realize they are blips and you've got to think long term. And, you know, we're firm believers in, you know, sitting down with clients and having a one-on-one conversation and look you in the eye to say, you know, here's, you know, we want to give you value and we want to give you advice. And, you know, you kind of pay for what you get out there. You know, a big trend in financial planning, for example, is robo-advice. And, you know, we like to say, you know, that's fine for some people, but you're not getting the human contact and you're not getting the value added, so to speak, of the relationship.
Yeah, there's some of these new robo and artificial intelligence things that there's no human contact whatsoever.
And that's kind of coming into vogue. And I think last night and today might be a good example of, you know, you have a lot of angst on what's going on. You know, a robo advisor is not going to calm your fears and give you advice and tell you stay the course or maybe we want to change this a little bit. You know, you're not going to get that advice when there's a change in the markets. And we're all about the relationship and the getting, you know, giving you value for what you're receiving.
Although they could be changing. I saw a robot in Japan delivering pizzas, so I don't know.
You know, that could happen too. Yeah.
Doug Myers, Senior Vice President with Associated Bank. Good of you to be with us on the Opening Bell today. We look forward to more thought leader discussions with you. Doug, by the way, is the private banking and personal. He leads the private banking and personal trust teams at Associated Bank. And you can hear more of our conversations online at WGNradio.com. Just find the Opening Bell page and all of our archived discussions, this one included, will be there.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everybody. Welcome back to the program. 540. The Federal Reserve, everybody had thought was ready to raise interest rates in December. Has the Donald Trump election delayed or will it derail that? We're going to continue our discussion this morning post-election with Mark Hamrick, who's a senior economic analyst at bankrate.com. Mark, good to have you back on the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Well, your reaction first to the election.
Well, nobody saw it coming that was in most of the media universe or the polling universe. And so there's going to be a lot of soul searching and reassessment on procedures for all that, because that's a pretty huge miss. And part of that was also that the financial markets did not anticipate it. So that helps to explain why we've seen the dramatic reactions in the last 36 hours. First, the down move in the futures market and then the rebound on Wall Street yesterday and what looks to be further buying into stocks today.
What if you could explain to our audience what happened there? Because in addition to all of the polling, which was just awful, There was this notion that is a Donald Trump election would tank the markets. We saw that happening initially, but they were actually at some of their highest levels yesterday. How do we describe that?
First of all, leaving the polling question aside, which is obviously different and complicated and gets into the media as well, I think that, first of all, the jury's still out. I mean, this is the initial reaction, and we have 4.5 years or 4 years, a couple months to go to see what the market's reaction longer term will be. I do think there's a risk right now with this sort of optimistic take on everything, and that is we just simply don't know how it's going to work out. But to the extent that people are hopeful that his proposals that are aimed at rejuvenating growth in the U.S. Can actually result in, let's say, better wages, better employment, better profitability, let's say some better returns on some sectors of the market that haven't done well under two terms of a Democratic administration. That's what investors are seizing upon now. And then the other piece, which is, I think, very important for the storyline, is that going into the election, it was seen that there was a pretty strong likelihood that the Senate went Democratic. And as we know, the Republicans maintain control of both houses, and to the degree that they are willing to cooperate with their party's nominee, they have the opportunity to do that here.
So there's also this discussion, too, that perhaps this election is going to have some sort of impact on the Federal Reserve's strategy and their possible raising of rates in December. Is that something, again, that the media is taking and running with? The Federal Reserve is generally independent, mostly independent. Are they even going to pay attention to Donald Trump?
Well, the Fed pays attention to events which affect the economy. I don't buy into the accusation that Trump himself made that the Fed was acting politically by holding interest rates low. I know, I've been around Janet Yellen for quite some time, as well as her deputy, Stan Fisher, and I know that, they believe very strongly that the labor market has yet to sufficiently heal. The job market has more repair to do, and one way that the Fed can try to affect that positively is to keep interest rates low. There's no doubt that there are unintended negative consequences of low interest rates that include the low returns to savers, the low velocity of money, the fact that there's a lot of money swishing around in the system, but it's not moving. In other words, perhaps lending isn't as robust as it might otherwise be. People are not spending as much as perhaps they did in past economic expansions. It's okay to save, too, but you're not getting much return on that saving. So to the specific question, here's what I think needs to happen for the Fed to raise interest rates in December. We got the last week's jobs report out of the way. It was fine. We saw an increase in wage growth. We have put the election behind, and so far, all the financial markets volatility has been to the upside, meaning we didn't see an actual down move in stocks that sustained could cause damage to the economy. Now we have one more jobs report to go. That's in early December, covering the month of November, and I would add one more thing to all that, and that is we don't see a big dent in business or consumer confidence for whatever reason between then and now. But I think the Fed will feel sufficiently confident to raise interest rates.
You bring up a good point at the beginning of that, and that is, the Republican, this is, I think they said for the first time since 1928, the Republicans have the White House, the House, and the Senate. And yesterday, Mitch McConnell, the leader of the Senate, Senate Majority Leader, I believe the Senate leader, said his first task, the first task will be to repeal Obamacare. Mr. Trump has said the same thing. He's also vowing to keep his plan to build the wall, which many, most experts said will cost, billions, trillions, perhaps. What is, the impact of all of that?
Well, we don't know what President-elect Trump's plan is to repeal and replace Obamacare. So that's number one. What is the substitution and what portions of it are retained? Because while people are not fans, obviously, of the price hikes that are being seen, they are fans of the elimination of the previous existing condition piece that prohibited earlier people from getting treatment. People like the fact that young millennials can remain on family plans. And those are things that don't have anything to do with the broader piece of the Affordable Care Act. Those are applications for the entire society. So we haven't heard what the substitution is, and so it's hard to judge. But it would be good if somebody could do something about the rising cost of health care, but I don't hear that really being addressed broadly. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, that's it on that. And what was the other issue?
I think we covered that. I guess the bottom line is there's a lot of unknowns, aren't there? Because this, it seemed like the last, especially few months of the campaign, we didn't hear from either candidate any of their concrete plans because of all of the arguing and bickering back and forth. So there are a lot of unknowns as this president takes office. And, you know, the markets, the economy doesn't like that, does it?
Well, I think it's time for the candidate who is now the president-elect to begin putting details together relative to what he wants to do. And that's natural in this part of the process, no matter who's coming into office. I think one of the problems was, no matter which side of the political equation you were on, no matter which candidate or none of the above that you supported, if you went to the website, you'd see the Trump text relating to proposals, which were frankly very thin, and then you saw a great deal more detail on the Clinton website. Didn't make one necessarily better than the other. It's just that was the level of transparency that was in this process. So there's a world of difference, as you know, between being a candidate and being a president, and Donald Trump and the rest of us are now witnessing that process.
Mark Hamrick, Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate.com. Good of you to be with us today. Always love hearing your expertise and direction with the economy and these issues. Thanks for joining us.
Well, it's my great pleasure, Steve. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You too. And you can follow Mark on Twitter. He's at Hamrickisms, Hamrickisms. And you can follow his blog and other advice on a daily basis at Bankrate.com.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures are pointing positive, up 125. The NASDAQ futures and S&P futures higher as well. And it's generally been a good night around the world, around the globe, in Asia and Europe, indices mostly higher. The Swedish drug maker AstraZeneca says third quarter earnings fell 12% as its blockbuster cholesterol drug, Crestor, faced its first full quarter of competition in the United States from generic alternatives. Operating profit declined to $1 billion from $1.17 billion a year earlier. AstraZeneca has been cutting costs so it can devote more resources to its cancer drugs. Also, drug maker Mylan is reporting a third quarter loss, mainly due to a big settlement over charging the federal government for controversial EpiPens, the emergency allergy injector whose price Mylan has repeatedly jacked up. Yesterday, the company reported a $119.8 million or 23 cent per share after reporting a $428 million profit in the same period a year earlier. Mylan has become the latest poster child for pharmaceutical industry price gouging. The company, which mostly makes generic drugs, posted revenue of $3.6 billion for the third quarter. Let's try to reconnect now with Orion Samuelson with us this morning. Good morning, Orion.
Well, good morning, Steve. Checking in this morning from Kansas City, where it's 44 degrees. And the National Association of Farm Broadcasters Broadcasting holding its annual convention. Commodity market really didn't react the way the stock market did yesterday, because I think a lot of the commodity market, particularly grain traders, were keeping an eye out for the November crop report. And it did come out, and the report bearish as the Department of Agriculture raised the corn yield by almost 2 bushels per acre. Feed use and exports were left unchanged. Ethanol numbers were raised 25 million bushels, and ending stocks were raised another 83 million bushels in the corn crop. So that means we'll now turn focus on weather in South America. And according to the Hightower Report's analysis of the soybean numbers yesterday, unless there's a trade war developed with China, the Trump victory, little impact. And the soybean report yesterday, according to the Hightower report, was very bearish. The USDA supply-demand update considered neutral to bearish against trade expectations for both U.S. ending stocks and world ending stocks of wheat. Well, today at the Farm Broadcasters Convention, Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack will check in with us. I don't know if he'll talk much about the reaction to the election, but he might take a look ahead at what he sees. Meanwhile, speculation on who will be the Secretary of Agriculture. Well, there are about two or three people in Kansas and Missouri. Kansas Governor Sam Brownback, who I've known since he was a national FFA officer a couple of decades ago, his name being bandied about, and the Ag Director of Missouri. And then Charlie Cruz, who served as the president of the Missouri Farm Bureau Federation. So those are some of the names. And, Steve, there'll be a lot more before this party is over. So.
Yeah, lots more to talk about, Ari. And thank you. Have fun at the broadcasters meeting.
Thank you.
Have a great day. It is 5:56 as we close out the program today. The Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Thursday, November 10th, 2016. Labor Department releases jobless claims at 7:30 Chicago time. Freddie Mac, the mortgage company, releases mortgage rates, Treasury, federal budget, 2 p.m. later today. St. Louis Fed President James Bullard is going to have some comments today. Also in Germany, industrial conglomerate Siemens releases earnings figures for the July through September period. That's its fourth quarter, one of Germany's biggest companies, one of Europe's biggest companies as well. Also today, the new report on cigarette smoking is coming out. That'll come out a little later on today from the CDC. Fortune magazine reveals its annual top 50 business persons of the year. And Disney, AstraZeneca, Michael Kors, Nordstrom's, Kohl's, Macy's, Ralph Lauren, SodaStream, NVIDIA, and Petrobras, among those reporting earnings today. A big day for retail earnings as we check the Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this November 10th.